Pete, you have a rare opportunity to call play-by-play for a Stanley Cup contender. First off, congratulations to the Predators.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael. This has been a fantastic ride, an absolutely fantastic one. And, you know, when it all gets started, when you face off 8-1, Nashville versus Chicago, you know it's going to be a real struggle. And obviously it has been, but they have 12 of the 16 wins required to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup. But whoever would have thought they'd sweep out, you know, Patrick Kane and the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round and then go against a very physical St. Louis Blues team, knock them off in six, and then a yet more physical Anaheim Ducks team and finish them off on Monday night in game six. And even on top of all of that, lose a 2-0 lead and then come back and take that game 6-3 with Ryan Johansson out of the lineup for the balance of the playoffs. He's been the guy that's been the key forward for the team. But a Colton Sisson steps in into his spot and scores a hat trick. Pontus Aubrey comes up and helps up from Milwaukee, a 30-goal scorer there. He's been quite effective, particularly in this round against Anaheim. And yes, I relish this. My first NHL season was 1978-79 with the Los Angeles Kings. Back in those days, we had nothing in our imaginations that would lead us to believe the Kings would be Stanley Cup contenders. Lo and behold, in 2012 and 2014, they won. My broadcast partner was still there, Bob Miller, just retired now this spring. But he has helped me, as we've constantly conferred during the playoffs, really enjoy and relish this.
And these opportunities don't come along, as you mentioned. And you're working in a hockey market that, you know, 20 years ago would have seemed absolutely alien. I mean, you think yes. that an NHL franchise would be in Nashville. And yet, just looking at how the fans seem to be reacting on television, you've got what's called Smashville. It seems like the Nashville community is really eating this up.
Eating it up. And I don't know if this morning there are any voices left in Middle Tennessee. I would imagine if, for example, let's say if you run a call center and if you're trying to answer people's questions, you're probably doing it with a very hoarse voice. I know the Guinness people were in the building last night and the Book of World Records, not the beer people. The beer people may have been there too, but the Guinness people there to measure the sound level because an indoor record was approached in the previous home game of 129.4 dB. So go ahead and rev up a 747 jet engine in your front yard, and you get an idea of what we're talking about.
Oh, my goodness. And they've not only embraced this, but they comprehend the game, too, when you move
yep.
down there. I seem to recall you had to explain some of the fundamentals that maybe Buffalo hockey fans already took for granted.
Absolutely. We had hockey 101 courses. We probably did them two-thirds of the home games for the first 3-4 years, and we had Bell South sponsored a little extra added radio that you would give a $5 deposit coming into the room, Hockey 101 radio. And we had another announcer who would break in to explain things during stoppages and play and so on, so the people could listen to Terry Crisp and myself and then get things explained even further, which was in addition to what we were explaining as when we were just proceeding with a regular call of duty.
Forgive me if I recall Denny Lemieux's How to Play Hockey and All the Rules from the opening scene of Slapshot. That's immediately, I couldn't help but think about that. You know, icing, I raise the puck, we stop and start again, and you don't do that, it's against the rules. But
I should send you a picture of myself and Jim Carr.
Oh, my goodness.
The announcer. Somebody put that together with one of my old NBC South Bend Blazers. And unfortunately for me, we look pretty similar.
Well, I mean, when we think of Nashville as a different hockey market, I was reminded of this back in 1999. I was covering the Stanley Cup Final, and I was down in Dallas for the first two games. And a fan down there reminded me that there are a lot of expats from northern markets. So it's not necessarily fair to dismiss southern markets as being hockey ignorant and just jumping on the bandwagon when the team is winning. Have you noticed that down in Nashville?
Well, two auto plants here. So a lot of people from Michigan. There was Nissan and Saturn located just on the outskirts of Davidson County here. And that helped, I think, have people in the stands who could explain things also to their brethren sitting there as things were going on throughout the course of the game. As a matter of fact, being in the same division with Detroit for the first 14, 15 years of the franchise, really resulted in the creation of a hybrid band here called the Predwing fan. And so they would root for the Predators every game except when they played for Detroit. The second season, and this sounds like a religious revival, but we had a night where you could be converted to Predators fandom. Bring in a Detroit Red Wings cap, a pennant, a jersey, a T-shirt, and we would give you a similar Predators item. What did we do with all the Detroit stuff? Well, we were going to play the Red Wings the next week in the show. They gave me four refrigerator-sized boxes of this Detroit memorabilia, and I took it up and distributed to one of the Boys and Girls Clubs in Detroit. So everybody won. The kids got Red Wing stuff they wanted, and the people here got converted.
And, well, speaking of the kids, that's really how you help a sport grow in a new market. The Sabres came along in Buffalo in 1970, and a whole generation of kids got to discover NHL hockey, became fans of the game. Are you seeing that down in Nashville, where a generation of kids have now become hockey fans and hockey players?
Yes, we have. Now, I'll give you several illustrations here of this. First of all, now there's been virtually 20 years, so kids, a whole generation of kids have grown up not knowing Nashville without the NHL. So that's a big help. But then when we came here, there were roughly under 300 registered amateur players. Three high schools were trying club hockey. Well, now there are over 3,000 registered youth and senior players and over 20 high schools playing the game. The Predators Cup is an annual event where they award the state championship for Tennessee. There's always been a healthy contingent over in Memphis, believe it or not, and then also in Knoxville and in Chattanooga. There's been club hockey at Vanderbilt for bordering on 50 years. In Knoxville, the University of Tennessee, they've had club hockey for 55 years. So there has been, admittedly at the outset, a small community of hockey zealots here in Tennessee. But really, the Predators can trace a lot of their success to the fact that what happened here when Municipal Auditorium opened up in 1962, and the Eastern League had a franchise here, the Dixie Flyers, and some of those players are still around. Some of them ran youth camps here at Municipal Auditorium. That was when Barbara Mandrell became a hockey mom with her two boys, and they welcomed us, the Mandrells, to their home when we came to town. I mean, the entire Preds front office, players, broadcasters, for a big fest at Barbara Mandrell's. She stayed close to the team ever since. And I think, though, that Dixie Flyer group had another effect on the game as things get passed on. In their camp was a young goaltender named Sean Walsh, who later went to Bowling Green. And now we have to refer to, unfortunately, as the late coach of the University of Maine Black Bears, who coached a future Predator, two of them as a matter of fact, Paul Kariya, and the team's first goaltender, Mike Dunham. So there has been a culture, though limited here, of hockey in Tennessee.
And it doesn't seem like a strange mix when you think about Western Canada, how there's kind of a cowboy culture up in the Western Canadian Rocky Mountains, and country music also popular in Western Canada. So to combine that and hockey, it's not as strange as you might think.
Not at all. The Calgarians come here quite a bit, as a matter of fact. And we will have the Country Music Association Festival Week coming up in just a very short period of time. And that will effectively run concurrent with the Stanley Cup final games here. So I'm looking forward to that mishmash.
Now, I saw an image online. It was paraphrasing one of your goal calls, the triple overtime win earlier in the playoff series. Go Ape, everybody. Has that become maybe the new catchphrase down there for Nashville hockey fans?
Well, they're always telling me to go ape when they see me walking the building. And that was actually from a series last year where Mike Fisher, the team captain, scored the game winner at about 1:06 or so in the morning. One of those 8:40 Central Time starts are almost guaranteed to go to overtime, right? So that one goes to triple overtime. And a graphic artist, a friend of one of our internet guys, who works at a television station in Pittsburgh, created that poster.
Do you think about what might come out of your mouth if you ever get the opportunity to say the Predators win the Cup?
I try not to. That was something I learned when I was on the West Coast with Bob Miller and in contact with Vin Scully. You just want to have the honest emotion come out of your mouth. I think the only time I had ever scripted anything here was when the team won its first ever playoff series, ironically enough, against Anaheim in 2011. And, you know, the underdog mentality and all of that, I couldn't help but bring out a little Rocky Balboa and go, yo, Adrian, they did it.
That's awesome. Wow. And Pete, there are quite a few people who remember you from play-by-play calls up here in Buffalo. You're still very highly thought of up here. And there are quite a few people.
Think very highly of everybody there, believe you me.
So, and you know something, in Nashville and Buffalo, there are some parallels here. You've got an NFL team and an NHL team, and the baseball team is AAA level. Do you see Do you see similar parallels in just, you know, everyday life down there? Now, we don't have we're not a country music or musical capital of any kind, unlike Nashville, but just in terms of the everyday people, do you see the similarities between Nashville and Buffalo?
So very friendly. I'll think back to how Buffalo and Jimmy Griffin always referred to it as a city of good neighbors, and that pretty much is the case here. The one thing we missed, Michael, was we just don't celebrate Dingus Day properly here.